All right, I'd like you to take the Word of God, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. The book of Matthew, chapter 15. We've been studying through the book of Matthew together. We've come to Matthew, chapter 15, beginning with verse number 21. Matthew, chapter 15, verse 21. Hope you're enjoying this journey we're taking through this New Testament book together. Matthew, chapter 15, verse 21. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark two words in verse number 28. It's the two words, great faith. The two words, great faith. And I preach to you on that subject tonight. Father, help us, I pray. Help our minds to be drawn heavenward, our hearts to be drawn heavenward. Thank you that we have a copy of your blessed word in our midst. And may you speak to us in a very thorough way. Do business with us. Speak to my heart and speak through me to these dear people. Give them what they need tonight. Give me what I need tonight. And may as you look down on this congregation, Lord, may you truly see great faith. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. The parallel passage of this same story, just in case you've been keeping notes throughout this series, is Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. As we come to these verses, we're reminded of how the Lord has just dealt with the scribes and Pharisees. I brought this out on Sunday when we dealt with the opening 20 verses of chapter 15. These scribes and Pharisees had rejected Jesus and his message of salvation. We see him now as we come to verse number 21. He goes into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, where he will begin to deal with a Gentile woman. Now, this particular lady is identified in these accounts in Matthew and Mark. She's identified as a woman of Canaan. She's identified as a Greek, and she's identified as a Syrophoenician by nation. What all this means is that she was a Canaanite, she was a Gentile, she was not Jewish. And as a matter of fact, because she was a Canaanite, we see that she was a member of the accursed race whom God commanded Joshua to exterminate from the earth. We see this dear lady throughout these verses crying out to the Lord for his help. And at the end of this story, we see the Lord commending her by telling her, "Great is thy faith." Now it's this thought that the Lord grabbed my attention with in my study. The thought of great faith. Faith has been defined as unquestioning belief. It's been defined as complete trust or confidence. The Word of God says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," Hebrews 11:1. We know that the Word of God puts much emphasis on faith. Among the many verses in the Bible that brings out faith, we know that the Lord Jesus said in Mark 11:22, He said, "Have faith in God." Faith is extremely important in the eyes of Almighty God. It's simply taking God at His word, no matter what the situation may be and no matter what the consequence may be. This woman before us was commended by the Lord of glory for having what He called great faith. And this word great means strong, it means mighty, it means large. Now, I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to be able to look down upon this earth at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and look at this pastor and be able to say the same thing, that he, that church, not only has faith, they have great faith in me. They have large faith. They have strong faith. They have mighty faith in God. I don't know about you, but wouldn't it be great for God to say the same thing about you and say the same thing about me? Now, in our text tonight, there are several things that summarize great faith. These thoughts are being brought out straight from the text tonight, and here's what I want you to see as we travel through these things that summarize this woman's great faith. These same things summarize great faith today. And let me tell you this, friends, we need God to help us all down through life. And we need to understand that what God says He means and what He means He says. And everything He says can be believed, and we need to show faith in the very Word of Almighty God. Now, this being the case, as a result of this message, may God see great faith in our lives, and may He challenge us to have great faith in our lives. There are five major things I want you to see tonight that summarizes this lady's great faith. What was it that Jesus saw? What was it that this lady did that caused the Son of God to say, "Oh woman, thy faith is great"? You have great faith. There are five things that summarize it. Number one, great faith, first of all, takes burdens to the Lord. Great faith takes burdens to the Lord. We see this in verse number 22. Notice it. It says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now in this verse, we see this mother was carrying a very heavy burden. Her daughter, the Bible says, and I quote, was grievously vexed with the devil. Now, I'm not sure what all that means, but what we do know that this means is that it was making her miserable. Now, friends, this was a great need in this mother's life. Her little girl was being tormented by a demon. Can you imagine? If you're a mom or a dad tonight, listen to me. Can you imagine your baby girl or your baby boy? Makes no difference how old or how young they may be. They may be grown up. They may be still infants. But the fact of the matter is, can you imagine what this mother was going through? Her baby girl was being attacked by the devil. She was being tormented by a demon, and there's no telling what this woman was thinking when she saw the torment that her daughter was going through. By the way, let me say this. The devil not only wanted this daughter, the devil wants your daughter and your son too tonight. I'm telling you, he's out to hurt your children. He can't stand your children. And we see that this lady had a major burden in her life. But we see that great faith, it does not keep burdens in. Great faith takes burdens to the Lord. However, Mark tells us that what happened in this lady's life is that she heard about Jesus. She heard that there was one out there and he's the only one who could help her daughter. Mark goes on to tell us that she came and fell at his feet. Matthew tells us she was crying out to him on behalf of her daughter. She was carrying such a heavy burden. Notice the language of Scripture in verse number 22 and verse number 25. Notice what she said. She said, "Have mercy on me." Look at verse 25. "Lord, help me." Are you listening to me? Her burden was so heavy that she identified it as her own. This is her own flesh and blood. And she's carrying this burden. She's identified it as her own when she asked the Lord to have mercy on her and to help her. In this time of great distress, she took her burden to the Lord to ask Him for help. My friends, this is what great faith always does. This mother went to Jesus for her daughter's need. And oh, how parents need to grasp this thought for our children, that when they have a need, we need to get burdened for them and take our burdens to the Lord. Number one, great faith takes burdens to the Lord. Number two, great faith recognizes the Lord. We see this in verse 22, 25, and 27. Notice her language. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Look at verse number 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Look at verse 27. And she said, Truth, Lord. In all of this, we notice that this mother is recognizing the Lord for who he is. She called him, O Lord, thou son of David. In this, we see her confessing Christ as the promised Messiah and master of all. This word Lord means he's master, he's controller, and he's God. In other words, she was letting him know that she believed he was the one from glory, that he's the only one who could help her. He's the one with more power than the devil. Great faith never belittles the Lord Jesus, but it always recognizes his power. It always recognizes his wonder and his majesty. See, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the great I Am. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the great Shepherd. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Almighty God. And on we can go. And great faith always recognizes the Lord. Always uplifts the Lord and who he is and what he does and what he can do and the power that he possesses, and that the devil is no match for him. Great faith sees God high and lifted up is what I'm trying to say. Hebrews 11:6 says, But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're just noticing great faith tonight. The great faith of this Syrophoenician woman. What was it that she did that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to say, that is great faith? What did she do? Well, first of all, she took her burdens to the Lord. That's what great faith does. Secondly, she recognized the Lord. She said, You are God. You are the master. You are Adonai. You are the one. You're the controller. You're the one that can meet my need. See, great faith always recognizes God. Thirdly, great faith worships the Lord. We see this in verse number 25. Notice what she did. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. As the Lord was dealing with this lady, we're going to get with it, you know, to his dealing here in just a moment. But as the Lord was dealing with this lady, the Word of God tells us that as he was seemingly saying no to her, now he wasn't. I'll explain that in just a moment. He was testing her faith here, but if you'll notice how he answered her in verse 24, but he answered, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's talking to his disciples there, but no doubt she heard this. And all I'm saying to you is this, the Bible says that after he made this statement, she's come to him, she's cried out to him. By the way, that word cried means she kept it up, she kept on crying. I'm talking about she was burdened, her daughter was being vexed with the devil. I'm talking about a demon was possessing her, a demon was tormenting her, a demon was belittling her and making her miserable. And this mother comes to Jesus. She recognizes he's the only one who can take care of this. He's the only one that can meet this need. He's the only one who has more power over the devil than anybody else does. She recognizes that. She takes her burden to the Lord, and the first thing she hears is, I didn't come for you. I came for Israel. Pretty discouraging, wouldn't you think? But notice how she responded. What did great faith do? When she heard Jesus say, I didn't come for you. Great faith. Notice what she did in verse 25. She came and she worshiped him. You know what that word worship means? It means to adore him. It means to crouch before him. It means to prostrate before him. It's a picture of a dog. Interesting. Because of what he called her in just a few minutes here. It's a picture of a dog sitting beside of its master, tenderly licking his master's hand. Here's the point that spoke to me under this. We're talking about great faith tonight. What does great faith do? Great faith takes burdens to the Lord, not somebody else. Great faith recognizes the Lord as the answer and the only answer in the situation. Great faith worships the Lord, but here's how the Lord spoke to me under that. The Lord spoke to me about how desperate this woman was. I'm talking about she had a need. I'm talking about her baby girl is going through it. Her world's been turned upside down by the devil attacking her baby girl. But the Lord grabbed my heart right here, that in the midst of this great burden that she was carrying, in the midst of her world turned upside down, in the midst of her heart breaking and realizing that she's got to do something for her daughter, this great need, in the midst of all of it, her great faith went to the feet of Jesus and worshiped. I don't know if you're getting what I'm trying to say. I'm telling you this, that great faith, even when you're hurting, bows the knee to Almighty God. Great faith, when your heart feels like it's ripped out of your chest, you don't run from God, you don't blame God, you don't belittle God, you don't run from Him, you run to Him. And you say, I don't understand this, but I understand one thing, you are still Lord, and you are still Master. And I, in the midst of pain, God helping me, will bow the knee as a dog and lick your blessed hand and let you know that I still love you. This is a powerful point, friends. I'm telling you that in the midst of her life in a whirlwind, she took time to worship God. Here's what I'm trying to say under this point. Great faith doesn't just worship the Lord on the mountain. Great faith worships the Lord in the valley. If you heard that song, we talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk is easy when life's at its best. But down in the valley, trials and temptations, that's where faith is really put to the test. And the God on the mountain, He's still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. The God of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. The God of the day, He's still God in the night. This is what this lady was proving. She had a night come in her life. She wasn't on a mountaintop. She was in the deepest valley that she could get in. Her baby girl needed help. And in the midst of it all, we see her great faith worship God. I don't know about you. I'm cut. That cuts me right there. It's easy to worship God when there's a smile on your face. But your true Christianity comes out when there's not a smile on your face. When you're in the valley and you're going through a trial in a dark place, great faith worships God. Then there's a fourth thing. Great faith takes burdens to the Lord. Great faith recognizes the Lord as the answer to this problem. Great faith worships the Lord in the midst of trouble. But number four, great faith humbles oneself before God. You show me somebody that has great faith, and I show you somebody who's not proud. Amen. Notice what the Lord did right here. Look at verse number 26. Verse number 25, she came and worshiped Him saying, Lord, help me. Now, what would you think the Lord would do here? She's worshiping Him. Wouldn't you think the Lord would say, okay, you've got it, you're worshiping me? Not the Lord. He's testing her. He's testing her. Notice what He said in verse number 26. But He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. By the way, there's two words for the dogs here. In the original language, the word dog can be translated two different ways. What I mean is the meaning of it. He's either talking about these homeless dogs, the ones that just run around, they're dirty, they're filthy, and they just scavenge around, or He's talking about a little puppy, a house pet, somebody that's a member of the family. You know what word He used here? Puppy. Listen here. He's saying, it's not meat. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to a puppy. But he left the door open because the puppy's in the home. The puppy's part of the family. He's giving her a little bit of hope here, you see. Now notice what she said. By the way, what would you say? You've come to the Lord. You've worshiped Him. I mean, the best you know how, your heart is right. You've been pouring out your heart to Him. You come to Him. You worship Him. You pray before Him. And the next thing you know, the Bible says that Jesus said, I can't give the children's meat to a dog. What would you do? How would you respond to that answer? You're not a child, you're a dog. What is God doing here? What's He doing? Is He being ugly? No. He's trying to help this lady. Stay with me here now. What He's doing is testing her faith. He's looking for great faith. Now, while you ponder the question, how would you respond? Let's see what she did. How did she respond? Look at verse number 28, verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You say, what's the point here? Here's the point. You know what she did? When the Lord looked at her and said, it's not right to take the children's meat and cast it to dogs. He's saying, are you worthy? Are you worthy for this? Do you think you're worthy for this? He says, you're a dog. And she says, you know what, Lord? You're right. You're right. I agree. What's the point she's saying? She's saying this. She's saying, I am no better than a little puppy, and I'm not worthy for the bread. I'm not worthy to sit down at the master's table. But even as a little puppy, I'll take leftovers. I'll take crumbs. Glory, I'm starting to feel pretty good right there. She recognized that a crumb from His table was more than enough than what she needed. And she was willing, get this, friends, she was showing an attitude of humility. You know what we do many times when God's trying to probe our faith and trying to help us grow a little bit? You know what we try to do? You can't talk to me that way! Never comes out of your mouth, but if you stop praying, that's what you're saying. God can't talk to me that way. I can't believe He's doing that. What in the world? What kind of an answer is that? Not this woman. This woman took her rightful place. See, great faith never uplifts self. Never. Great faith always humbles oneself. Always. Great faith when approaching God is poor in spirit. It doesn't come demanding, it comes depending. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of God and He shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Great faith, what is it? It takes burdens to the Lord. Great faith, what is it? It recognizes the Lord as the answer to all of life's problems. Great faith, what is it? It worships the Lord in spite of what's going on down in the valley in the darkest night. It's still found at the feet of Jesus worshiping Him. Great faith, what is it? It humbles oneself before God. Remember the story of the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 where he was saying, I'm glad I'm not like this and not like this and not like this one. And the Lord said there was one publican, there was one sinner that just stood over. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven and just smote upon his breast, the Bible says, and says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other man. You want to get something from God, friends? You're listening to me? Humble yourself. You have faith? If it's great faith, you'll be humble. You'll humble yourself. Then there's a final thing here about great faith. I know I'm emphasizing, but I'm doing it for emphasis here. Emphasizing for emphasis, okay? Great faith, what is it? The Lord looked at this woman at the end and said, "Great is thy faith." Great faith. Great faith took burdens to the Lord. Great faith recognized him as the only answer. Great faith worshiped him in spite of the trouble. Great faith humbled before him. And great faith, number five, keeps on praying. Great faith keeps on praying. We see this in verses 22 to 27. I've already read it. But just notice what happened here. In verse number 22, she comes to him. Look at verse number 23. "But he answered her not a word." He gave her the silent treatment. You ever been there in your prayer closet? You ever prayed about something and it felt like the heavens were brass? "God's not hearing me. This prayer session, good night's dead as 4 o'clock. Silent treatment. And look at verse 23. "His disciples came, besought him, saying, 'Send her away. She crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' She came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs.' She said, 'Truth, Lord.' Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." What's the main emphasis of this passage? Faith. What's the main emphasis about faith in this passage? It kept coming. She never stopped. This dear lady had a major burden she was carrying concerning her baby girl. She cries to the Lord. By the way, I've already told you, but this word cried, where she cried unto him, it means she kept on crying. She wouldn't stop. She kept on crying. We see her continuously crying unto the Lord for his help when the Bible tells us he answered her not a word. He gives this woman a silent treatment. But his silence didn't keep her silent. She kept on praying. She kept on crying so much until the disciples said, "Lord, would you please do something about this lady? She's about to drive us insane. You've got to get rid of her." Now, a majority of people think that they were asking him to meet her need and send her away. But the point is, they wanted to get rid of her. They wanted to send her away. And then he said, "Listen, I'm not sent to people like her. I'm sent to Israel." She came and worshiped him, asked him, "Lord, help me. I mean, good night. Can't she take no for an answer here?" Hallelujah. The Lord answered, saying, "Listen, a dog's not worthy of the children's meat." Now, at that, you'd think that she'd get the point and leave. But she just turns it right around and she says, "I'm not going anywhere. I may be a dog, but dogs even get some crumbs every now and then." And she's praying and she's seeking. She won't leave. The point is, even though she had obstacles, she refused to stop going to the Lord. The Lord is not being ugly to this woman. The Lord is not being unkind. He never was ugly and unkind to a seeking person. He was simply testing her faith. He was probing it. He was trying to get it to grow to see if it was great faith, and it was. She kept on coming to him. She refused to stop laying her request at his feet. And as a result of this this woman's great faith, even when he gave her the silent treatment, even when the disciples wanted to get rid of her, even when it seemed like it was hopeless, and he was saying, "Listen, I've got bread, but not for dogs," even when it seemed hopeless, great faith refused to stop. She refused to stop. She kept asking. We learn from this that when we're petitioning the Lord for something that's in accordance with his will, now, I'm not preaching tonight that if you just go to God and believe God, he's going to give you what you're asking for. That's not what I'm saying, because the overall teaching of Scripture, it must be in accordance to the will of God, you see. God's not going to, God doesn't sacrifice his biblical principles to answer prayers. But if it's in the will of God, And I'm saying you keep praying and keep praying. No matter what obstacle comes in the way, you keep on praying and realize that obstacles of faith can turn out to be opportunities in disguise. If you have a burden, take it to the Lord, is what I'm saying. Even if heaven seems like it's brass and your prayer's not getting through, just keep on praying. Great faith keeps on praying. Somebody put it this way, the prayer of faith and the will of God will never be disappointed or discouraged, even by God's delays. When the flesh justifies turning and walking away. Don't you think the flesh might have been talking to this lady right here saying there's no use, give it up. He's told you no, stop bothering him. I mean, even when the flesh justifies turning and walking away, great faith keeps coming. Great faith keeps bombarding the throne room of God. Great faith refuses to stop going to God with the burden. Great faith keeps it up and keeps it up and keeps it up because great faith realizes that only one can answer it, and his name is God. And you keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying. That is Bible, my friends. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. That word ask means ask and keep asking. The Bible says knock and it shall be opened. That means knock and keep knocking. And it says seek and ye shall find. That means seek and keep seeking. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 5 puts it this way. Now listen to me, talking about just keep coming to God, keep bombarding heaven. Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his continuous coming, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? The Bible puts it this way in Luke chapter number 15. Excuse me, chapter 18, it puts it this way. And he spake a parable unto them of this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There is a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her, get it, continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. In other words, the unjust judge who doesn't love God, doesn't fear God, doesn't care anything about man, says this lady's killing me because she won't leave me alone. I'm just going to give her what she's asking for because she keeps on coming. And here's what God said. Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What am I saying? I'm saying great faith refuses to stop praying. Great faith will keep on going to God even when it seems hopeless. His name was George Mueller. You know many things about him, I'm sure, how he was considered a prayer warrior. He prayed and God answered his prayers in mighty, mighty ways. But one day he wrote this down, and I'm reading directly here. He said, the great point is never to give up until the answer comes. I've been praying, here's what he said, I've been praying 63 years and 8 months for one man's conversion. Did you hear what he just said? He said, he's not saved yet, but he will be. How can it be otherwise? I'm praying. Now, I don't understand all this, but that sounds a little bit like great faith to me. The day came when Mueller's friend received Christ, but you know when it came? When they were lowering his coffin down to the grave at the funeral. I'm talking about George Mueller. The man did not see his prayers answered while he was alive. But God answered his prayers. What am I saying to you tonight? I'm saying this. I don't know what you're going through. I don't need to know what you're going through. I'll be happy to help you any way I can. If you're carrying a burden. But I know this. I know that we serve a God who is worthy. And we serve a God who is the only help in time of need. Great faith not only knows that, but acts accordingly. Great faith will go to God, take their burden to the Lord. Great faith will recognize God as He's not an answer, He is the answer. Great faith, listen to me friends, will worship the Lord even when it's dark. Great faith doesn't lift itself up a person. Great faith brings humility. And great faith, even when the answer seems to be no, if it's in accordance to God's will, even when you don't understand what God may be doing, even when you pray and it feels like it's just bouncing off the ceiling back at you, great faith says, I will keep praying. Simple. May God change our life with it. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Help us tonight, I pray, to understand that we need you. We cannot live this life on our own. We need your help. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your strength. And help us to understand that this story shows us, even though you said it was great faith, the real story and the real point of this message is that you are worthy to be trusted. And you are worthy to be believed. Help us, Lord, to have great faith. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I ask you, first of all, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? And do you really know the Lord? Has there been a time when the Lord has spoken to your heart and you've repented of your sin and received Him into your heart and life? If there hasn't, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible, share with you how you can know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Well, tonight I ask this question. If you're saved tonight, I'm speaking to you. If you're a child of God, I'm speaking to you. When God looks at you, does He see great faith? I mean, does He really see great faith? Can He look at you? Can He look at me and say, great is thy faith? Maybe tonight you're carrying a burden. Maybe you're carrying a burden that you've been praying for a long time and it seems like the heaven is brass. Maybe there might be somebody here, a mom or dad even, who's got a child that you've been really burdened for. And maybe the devil's been trying to tempt you to stop praying. There's no use, there's no use, there's no use. Wait a minute. What does great faith do? Great faith refuses to stop. Great faith keeps bombarding heaven. Great faith keeps worshiping the Lord. Great faith keeps crying to God even when others may seem like it's hopeless. Have you tonight say, Jody, pray for me. I've got a burden. It may not be a heavy burden, but at least it's a burden. Or maybe it is a heavy burden. You say, Jody, pray for me. I've got a burden in my life. I really do. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Well, that's a lot of hands. God bless you. Put your hands down. I don't know what that burden is, but I know the answer. I know the answer. Take it to the Lord and stay there. Stay there until he gives you a direct answer that you know is his will. Now, we know he says no to some things. We know he says wait to some things. But my friends, he also says yes to some things if we just wouldn't give up, you understand? And keep going and keep going and keep going and ask God to help us. Why don't you come talk to God about that tonight? Let's all stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, help us, I pray. Help people to respond in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to you, leave your place, come. Some of you want to come and say, God, help me to have great faith. Help me to give my burden to you. Whatever it is, bring it again. Come talk to God as Brother Gary sings. Leave your place. Would you come now? Come now. Would you do that?
Have faith in
come talk
God.
To God about it. Come talk to the Lord about it.
His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Sing that again if you know it. Sing it with Brother Gary if you know it.
Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for this service. Pray that you'll seal this message on our hearts. We need you. We confess that. Lord, we realize that you're not just an answer. You're the one and only answer. Help us to understand that. Help us to believe that. Help us to act accordingly. Give us great faith, I beg. May you be pleased as you look at us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Good night. Talk to somebody on the way out. We'll see you on Sunday. Try to be here tomorrow night at 6:30 if you